Rabbi Sai, let's begin. Rabbi Sai, let's begin. We're up to page Reish Nun Zayin. Let's begin. Okay, we're up to page Reish Nun Zayin. Reish Nun Zayin, we are in the middle of Halacha Shenit Ches. Rabbi Sai, we're in the middle of Halacha Shin Yud Ches. Shin Yud Ches, which is to be found on page Reish Nun Zayin. Okay, we did the first paragraph, we're up to the second paragraph, and we are discussing tzedakah. He's going to present over here a controversial subject. Here, the words speak for themselves. The Maisa. The person that was a Talmud Chacham, he did not need to come on to anyone. A person that was a Talmud Chacham, and he had money. He had money put away. He did not need tzedakah, but he made believe, and he told people, listen, I need money. I'm a poor person. I need money. So he's a liar. It's a lie. What did he do with the money? He took the money that he got and he redistributed the money to other poor people who the community would not have given to. Now, on the one hand, he's not taking the money for himself. Now, one penny went to his own pocket. But on the other hand, he's a liar. He is a liar.
He's a liar or a spinner?
Well, I would say he's a liar. He says,
that
I need...
How he presented himself.
He presented himself. It says over here, his words are, everything over here, you know, you can't generalize. We always say, but he's over here, he's saying over here is, I need money. I need money. I'm a poor person. He hid all his money in Swiss bank accounts.
Or it doesn't mean he needs it for himself. It doesn't say he needs it. That's a white law. Everyone needs money.
Ani Esav b'chorecha. Right? He played games. It's not ethical.
I need it to distribute to the other needy.
But he didn't say that.
He says, I need it.
I will leave it to your imagination. I will leave it to your imagination. Let's see what he says. Everyone will have their own opinion on this matter. Okay? Everyone will come along with ideas on this matter. But let's see how he says what he says. The Oimer, Tenuli ki ani tzadik. V'lo hayinene shava putim imasha noisim lo ki hayin noisim lanim tzadikim shekeshahayu. So why can't those poor people come to the collection agency and make a request? He doesn't tell us why, but for some reason...
He says why. They won't give
him. Why not? That's the good. Why not? When he asks for tzedakah, they give him. And when they ask, the other poor people ask for tzedakah, whatever the reason is, which we do not, he does not tell us, they would not give those other poor people. So he went, he took the hit. He lied. And he said, I'm a poor person. I need tzedakah. Oh, you need tzedakah? We didn't know. It's a chash for a person. You need tzedakah. Gesund, hey, here's $1 million. He then took $2 million and he redistributed it to the poor people to whom also came to the office and says, we need tzedakah. And they said, sorry, there's no money for you. He went and he redistributed the money they gave him, even though he did not need, to the poor people who were rejected. Even if he would go advocate on their behalf, they would not listen to him. When this tzaddik, he's getting more details, when this tzaddik would come to the office and say, look, you know, in my neighborhood there's some poor people, why don't you give them money? So they would say, no, we don't give money to those people. So when he says, I need money, oh, you, of course. Give me. He repeats the words over here. The words over here are a little repetitious over here. And what would he do with the money? He would say better that I humiliate myself. And I should say, it seems that there's a lot of humiliation in doing this. Right. Taking charity. Okay, there is a price to pay for taking charity. And he said, I'm going to lie. I'm going to say that I need money and I'm going to be blacklisted as being a pauper in order to get the money, to redistribute the money. Kidei she'achayeh, I will give life, es ho'anim, because if I don't give them, they're going to die. I don't know, take that literally. So we hear, so what would you say? Now he paskins, now if you wouldn't see what he says, you can fight about this from today until tomorrow, because obviously there are two tzedakot into every story, you know, there are different ways. It's just interesting, his frame, his psak halacha. He said, mutter lo likabel. You know, for some reason, libi omer li, today you would not be able to write such a psak halacha in public. There are a lot of things today that if you ask rabbanim, they will tell you what to do, and they will never allow that psak halacha to be written in a book. When you look at the art scroll books, or you look at any of these publications, they only, now, I can't say every time, but 95% of the time, they're only telling you chumras. And coolest, you're not going to find rabbanim writing. I'll give you an example. You have a pill, and the pill, the coating of the pill is gelatin. Gelatin. Now, what is gelatin? So no one really knows where gelatin comes from. You have to really do a lot of research. There are many different types of gelatin. Most of the gelatin on that go into producing the coating, the outer coating of a pill, is from non-kosher sources. Not all. Many times it comes from kosher sources. And if you do enough research, if you do enough research, you can probably track down what you have in your possession, where that gelatin came from. You call up the company and you really get someone honest, and they do the research, so you can find out if you really want to go to the effort. But many times, but stam, most gelatin comes from non-kosher sources. Yeah. So what? Gelatin, when you have that pill, the gelatin, the extract from the whatever came from the non-kosher animal has been basically decomposed, has been processed in many ways where it is completely disintegrated, has disintegrated, been reconstituted into a new entity, panim chadosh espos lekan, and it's not so bad. If you would ask many rabbanim privately, I have a vitamin, I have a medication, and I need it, I don't need it, this, that, whatever it is. The problem is that the particular one that I have, the capsule is made from non-kosher gelatin. So many of them will tell you, listen, you could swallow it, you can even suck it, b'di'evet. Oh, but it's chazer. It's not really chazer. This is. What?
Yes, it is.
You're reading from a published source.
Traditionally obtained from porcine pigs.
What I
and
mean,
cattle,
and right, it's chazer, right? But how is it? What do they do? Well, you're eating a piece of mamish meat in front of you. A sheer. Oh, it's a kazayas. It's ponim chadoshoyz boos lekan. It has been
with the concept of
achshavei.
It's not. Achshavei is only midrabanan. Achshavei is not a daraisa.
Right.
It's only din derabanan. And number two,
it's, Rabbanan, so
it's still ponim chadosh. You're asking a good question. I don't know. I don't know. There are different types of situations where the achshavei comes into play. I don't know.
What is achshavei?
That you, if, by you, it's choshev. If you consider it chashuv, then it gives it a life of its own. And
you
it
say it's bottle,
that's only if you're going to say that.
I don't know the rules.
It's still in existence. It's not any longer
right.
Rav
Mordechai Yehudi is saying it's disintegrated. They've extracted certain chemicals from the chazer. It's not dripping hot out of the oven, a piece of chazer. It's a chemical that they've extracted from non-kosher source, and they've used it and manipulated it and created something completely new, and it's not even meant to be consumed. It's just to hold medicine in its place. There's no flavor. There are many different elements that come together.
I really hold back the ones that, you know, you just swallow it anyway.
Right. And if you ask, if you...
Neither
hachila. There are many different elements coming together. And if you'll ask rabbanim privately, they will tell you, swallow it and have a nice day. You will not find this psak halacha in writing anywhere. You open up any book.
If you learn just the Gemara, it's 100% mutter.
You want to see where it's written? I'm going to find it.
Then it's mutter? You find. I looked all over. You find. You find me. You show me. You find me where it says the gelatin that b'dieved you can swallow a
gelatin,
pill.
Gelatin, the chametz coatings.
Yeah, you find me. You find me a book. A book that says if you have a medication, as a jet. You find a medication with a gelatin coating. A gelatin coating. You will ask Rabbanim privately. They'll tell you if you can't, if you have no other option, and this, then okay, it's fine, it's A-okay. But to go find an art school book or any book, not art school, any book, where Rabbanim, they'll write mutter, 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 you're not going to find it, because that's the nature of the world. The nature of the world is there are certain things you're not going to go put in writing. Get you don't want to go put your head out to go put in writing and banned, but it's mutter. Same thing over here. Over here, this what it says over here. Today you're not going to find people telling you. You're not going to tell people. Not going to say how this is a person. At the end of the day, he lied. He lied. I need tzedakah. I need. You don't need nothing. You have plenty of money in the bank. What are you doing taking tzedakah? I have a cheshbon. There's corruption in the world. There are poor people who came here and applied for tzedakah, and you don't want to give them for some crazy political reason. Whatever the reason, you don't want to give. I don't know why you don't want to give them. So I'm going to take the hit. I'm going to lie. I'm going to make believe I'm poor to take tzedakah in order I can redistribute the money to someone else. You're a liar. No one today is going to say, you know, I'll do that. No one from the pulpit, no rabbi from the pulpit will dare say it's permitted. No, I guarantee you, not in today's, anyone, a professional Rav, no way. A lie is a lie. Usser. He had the guts here to say, mutter. It's really shocking. It's a shocking thing what he says.
But the rabbis do say from the pulpit.
Not from the pulpit.
No, that you can have the tablets that have chametz in it, and you can have the caps.
No, they won't have the pulpit. Okay, this is just an example. Now let's go next case. Maisa. Maisa be'echad. Maisa person be'echad shahay yedal v'chasev lo hayyareitz l'kabel tzedakah. There was a person that was poor, and v'lo hayyareitz l'kabel tzedakah. Amar heich akabel harini goizel eswaniim. So over here he's talking over here. I'll tell you a good story about this in a second. But over here he's saying, I don't want to take tzedakah. So he did something worse. He did something. He didn't want to humiliate himself to take tzedakah, so he went to take a loan. The only problem is he has no way to pay back the loan. If you don't have a way to pay back the loan, you're not allowed to borrow money. It is categorically forbidden to borrow money knowing you have no way to pay back the money. I don't want to take the tzedakah. I'm going to be a gan, because if I take tzedakah, there's not going to be enough money for the other poor people. So you know what? I'm not going to go take away from them. He borrowed money with no means of, no income to pay back the money. And they gave him, I guess it sounds like with ribbis, which basically he means heter iska, it sounds like over here. He gave him money to make an investment. He didn't just borrow from one person. He borrowed from everyone that he knows. I know someone that did this. A person that did this out of desperation. He had someone was in prison. Someone was in prison, and he borrowed a lot of money to bribe people in government. This goes back 100 years ago. And he never paid back the money. It worked. He borrowed money and he paid big bribes to judges. Who knows what he did, and it worked. And he felt that this person that was in prison, he was in a very bad prison, and it was pikuach nefesh. He felt it was mamish pikuach nefesh, and the only way he can help him was by doing illegal stuff. Legal mamish illegal. He bribed people, politicians. Today we probably would get caught. Back then, it was probably a very long time ago, this Maisa. So back then, I don't know if he get caught so quickly.
Use his own money?
Probably.
He borrowed money.
He borrowed. Not only did he do something illegal, he bribed, but he needed a lot of money to bribe these politicians. So he borrowed money, Jewish money, telling, I don't know if he told everyone what he's going to do with the money, but he borrowed money, and he really had no intent to pay back. But they wouldn't give it to him unless he mamish faked them out. I'm going to pay back. Why did he do this? And then the end was, it worked. He got him out. And I don't think he ever paid back the money. And people were very, very upset. They were very, very angry at him. And I know a certain person tried to be mafayes, all the angry creditors, by telling him it was pikuach nefesh. He did an avera. He stole your money. He borrowed money. And in hindsight, he never planned to pay back the money. But he was extremely desperate because where he was sakonis nefashis. Okay, over here is something a little bit similar. It's a little bit similar. A person over here is borrowing money because he doesn't have what to eat. And he really doesn't have the ability to pay back the money. The anus, so what would be the solution? Just tell the people, be upfront, I'm destitute. But that will be humiliating, it seems. So the when it came time to pay back, they came down, they didn't, where's our money? Sorry, I don't have any money to pay you back. And then he said, the chutzpah, I need more money. Maybe you can lend me more money? You're a Rasha. And he would say, in justification of his behavior, mutov sheye loive. He says, it's kedai for me. His claim was, if I had money, I would pay you back. And that's why I borrowed money. If I don't have, better you should call me a Rasha and I should be nichshel in this than take a handout. And his justification was, because if I do take a handout, there are going to be other poor people that are not going to have money also.
If he is poor, then he's entitled.
Yeah, but he
was
a real one. No, I don't know, humiliation, or his claim over here is that I don't want to go deplete the stocker fund. The calculations over here are too complicated for my little head. So what is the psak halach? What does Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid say about such a type of person? If you go and present this at the dining room table, it's Friday night, you'll hear a svara like this, a svara like that. People will tell you whatever they want to say. And everyone has to say, you know, these are controversial things. People, you know, don't judge people. People who are desperate, you don't know what they're going through in their life. Nemar alav, along comes Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and he says his deya. And his deya carries a lot more weight than anyone else's deya. And he says, this fellow has committed a horrible crime. You don't borrow money knowing you're not going to be able to pay back no matter what. No matter what. It's a big avera to borrow money not knowing if you're going to be able to pay back. Al tihi tzadik harbe. V'oichu rasha. Lama lova. V'hu yodea. She'ein loy hatzlocha. V'lo yeh b'mel lefroya. And when you borrow money and you don't pay back, it's an enormous chilul Hashem. U'mischalel shem shamayim al yodoi. People say Jews, they know what happened. They're ganovim, they borrow money without having any intent to pay back. And guess what? People will never lend money again. Every time someone wants to ask you for a loan, I'm not going to lend you money. You're one of those type of people. Charlatan, you set a bad reputation for the industry, and then the economy comes to a standstill. The null delus, lifnei lovin, the oid alti itzad the karbe lama tishamem. Kishmama below the urin. Why should you be desolate? Kishmama. I don't know what he means over here. Like a desolate location where no one lives there. You're causing a churban. I don't know what he means at the end of the passage. Like a shma means like a ruin, where no one lives because it's dangerous. It's empty, and by borrowing money with no intent to pay back, you bring upon this world a churban. Now that's what Rabbi Yehuda. Now I'll tell you a story. This story shook me to the core. Show me to the core. A person went to him, I believe it was with Rabbi Yashiv. And Imamish asked him this question. See, Meir is not here. Meir would have a lot to say about this. He's really into this. And the story is, he went to Rabbi Yashiv, he said to Rabbi Yashiv, I'm making a wedding. I read this. I don't remember where I read this, but this is what I read somewhere once upon a time, not that long ago. Head's not working. I don't know where it is, but he went to Rabbi Yashiv. He told Rabbi Yashiv, I'm making a chasna. I don't have a penny to my name. And I got to marry off my child. And what I can do is, I have no choice but to I basically told him, I'm going to go to America to make a collection, suffer the humiliation, but I'm not going to really make enough to pay back. Not even shaykh, but whatever. I'll try to go and make a collection. The humiliation, the terrible humiliation, and in the meantime, I'm in a lot of trouble. The wedding is coming up. I can borrow money. And the creditors are not going to ask questions. They're very kind. They'll give me the money with the expectation of I'll pay back. I have no way of paying it back. L'chaira, it is categorically forbidden to borrow money.
He has a way to pay it back. He's going to go bizarre and go collect.
Going and being mevaz himself to go collect, he said, from the story it appears, it's very unlikely. I'll do my ishtadlos, but it's derech hateva. I'm not going to make back a fraction of what I need to pay back. So l'chayra, it is categorically forbidden for me loy ve'rasha v'lo yishale. Now, don't hold me. Don't say that I said something about Rav Yashiv that might not be correct, but I think it was Rav Yashiv. So Yashiv said to him like this: "This is an incredible thing. As long as there is an America." As long as there exists in this world the United States of America, and there are Jews who live in America who do incredible chesed and give outrageous amounts of money litztaka, you borrowing money with a kavana to see that maybe there are some of Achenu B'nai Yishol in America can help you, this is not begeder. Loi ve'rosha v'lo yishalim. The mitzius of the United States of America, where people make money and they give tzedakah, creates a new reality in the world of Torah that you're not subject to the curses that we just learned about over here of loi ve'rosha v'lo yishalim.
But in general, anyone who says I have no way of paying back. There is a muna involved. Maybe in the future someone's going to help me.
Would a bank today give you a mortgage unless you have a stable income? No way. No way.
You have a mortgage saying I'm going to collect it.
They won't give you a mortgage even if you have a good job. They won't give you a mortgage. They won't even lease you a car. Leasing a car, a lot of leases the car, they lease a car, they get away with it a little bit more. They lie. Most of the people, when they lease a car, they write things to the dealer.
You can repossess the car. The car is the collector.
Right. So you can repossess the house also.
It'll take you 2 years.
What? It's not worth it for the bank. It's not worth it for the bank to go through the foreclosure and the whole process. It's just not worth it for them. If this fellow, it's very unlikely he's going to pay back the money, it's not worth it. They're not going to. So just like in the secular world, it's a davar pashut, there are standards. They're not going to go lend you money unless there's a reasonable expectation you'll be able to pay back the money. So too in halacha, it's even worse. You don't want to be called by the Torah a Rasha. And Eliyashu said, a chiddush nifla, that because there are Jews in America who are so generous, that changes the dynamics of a loy ve'rasha v'loy yishalim. Isn't that amazing?
I thought you said that he was not willing to go to America to collect. He didn't want, he asked.
No, he did. He was willing. I'm sorry if I did not say it correctly.
Yeah,
he says he's going to America to collect money, but it's unlikely. It's unlikely I will be able to make back charity donations for my desperate, dire needs in America. You see what goes on. People come to collect. How much money they make already? I'm not going to be able to make it back. So Eliyashiv said, you'll make it back. Yeah. Eliyashiv says, don't worry, you go to America, you'll make it back. You'll make it back because there's a country, isn't that a very big shevach? That's airplay, air, sorry, but more, $1,000? You know what it costs a ticket today?
I was just thinking around.
Rabbi Mordechai, you know what it costs a ticket today? It costs already almost $3,000. $3,000 ticket today. Okay, so someone comes to America.
So he's lucky if he can make it back.
It's right. Okay, they wrote up an article a couple of years ago in Mishpacha magazine. They wrote a very lengthy article describing this industry of people coming to America to collect. Wow, what a heartbreaking article about the humiliation and the whole system in place of people that drivers and where they stay. And yeah, they don't give commissions. They have to give commissions to the
hire a guy to drive you around.
It's such a pathetic. It's such a sad reality. It's you know, on the one hand it's sick, but the other hand it's just very sad. You can't blame anyone. This is, you know, you want to go back and blame their parents, their grandparents. People have what to say about this. You're right. But this is what it is, and it's a horrible. Unfortunately, I know people personally like this, that this is the matzav that they're in. It's a horrible, very, very sad state of affairs. The chassid they make in Eretz Yisrael are a fraction of what they do in Lakewood. Lakewood is already it's mamash malchus compared to what they're doing in Eretz Yisrael.
I've been to some pretty fancy weddings in Israel.
Okay, not everyone.
Yeah.
You've been to the nice ones. The average, the standard living in Eretz Yisrael is a lot lower than the standard living in America. It's a very different situation. All right, this concludes this halacha. Now let's talk about something from the parasha. I want to go into the parasha about a halacha that's a